like, we have to let that play for very long. The whole world knows that
People
song.
Know what it is, yes. Do you know why I picked it?
I'm almost embarrassed at how obvious you're being.
Well, you know, I didn't have any renditions of Ghost Riders in the Sky on cassette, so we are limited.
Again,
we're limited to the cassette collection. There's only so much I can do.
Why you gotta have to tie it to the movies that come?
Because
out
when I don't tie it to a movie, you complain, and then when I tie it too closely, or when you don't get it, and I have to explain to you how it's tied to the movie, you complain. So pretty much, whatever you do, you complain. What I do, you complain. So it doesn't matter what I do, you will complain. So I'm gonna do what I want to do, and then you'll complain.
Do it differently and better,
so that you can complain about that.
Yes.
Shut your pie hole.
Hello, Linoleum Knife is here.
Yes.
To entertain you. And goodbye. We're done. I have nothing to say.
Stop it.
I have nothing to say this week.
Yeah, you say that now, and then we'll be here an hour later.
So. I don't. I'm bored by almost everything this week.
Well, it's because the two cool art house movies you didn't see.
True. I do have to watch one and review one still that I'm late on getting to it. The other one I'm just dragging my feet on. And we'll get to it.
Yeah. And there's a really good big studio movie this week.
There is one really good big studio movie this week. So I am Dave White. I am Dave White of The Rap. No, wait. You're Dave White. Wait, no. I'm Dave White. I'm from movies.com.
Yes. Yes, you are.
You are Alonzo Duralde. You are from The Rap.
Correct.
.com.
Yes.
Also, you are from WhatTheFlick.com.
Also correct.
Well, that's not .com.
No.
No.
It's just
a thing.
There is a What the Flick show.
It's a television program on YouTube.
There's a What the Flick show channel on YouTube. So, yes.
Yeah.
Part of the Young Turks, which celebrated their 10th anniversary this week.
But only the main Turk. He's the only one that's been doing it for 10 whole years.
Well, no, I think Ben and Anna and some of the people have been there like from the beginning.
Ben's been there from the beginning?
I think so, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. But yeah, What the Flick is only a couple years old.
We saw Ben on Valentine's Day.
We did. With his lady friend.
They were at the same movie we were at.
Because I told him about it.
Yeah. We missed all the press screenings for This Means War. We had to go.
They were originally going to open it on Valentine's Day, but apparently they realized they were going to get their hat handed to them by the vow.
You're going to get the high hat.
Exactly. Yeah. So then they thought, no, we're just going to open on Friday instead, but we're going to do a public sneak on Valentine's night.
On like 2,600 screens.
Yeah. And
instead of it open like on 3,500.
Right. And so Dave and I went to that, as did Ben Mankiewicz and his lady friend.
Night.
And it was packed.
Yeah, it was packed.
Like, we had, you know, it's one of those...
We showed up first.
It's one of those years where you have to pick your seats beforehand. And so we were sitting on the aisle like we like. And then, like, people are sitting right next to us. And we're thinking, okay, well, once the lights go down, we'll bolt. We'll go to the row behind us, the row ahead of us. By the time the lights went down, the place was full. We were trapped. Like rats.
We were fully trapped.
Yes.
We were trapped in our seats.
On all sides.
We were trapped by the movie.
I think we were trapped. I think I liked it better than you did.
You did like it better than I did. I didn't despise it.
And I didn't love it.
I just didn't think that I was being given what I should have been given.
I
need snappy, fast-paced patter.
I felt entertained by it.
I need bam, zoom, zing.
It was a slick and glossy entertainment machine.
I need more than Chelsea Handler coming up every 10 to 12, 15 minutes.
With a zinger.
And saying funny things. She happily... Happily, she provided that.
She did.
She was the one funny person in the movie.
I thought Miss Witherspoon had her moments.
Occasional.
The dialogue doesn't allow for
occasional
much.
Occasional lines.
I have recollections of laughing out loud with some regularity and not just
during
the Chelsea
Handler
scenes.
During the paintball scene. Yes. That's it. Mm. And that was just Tom Hardy going Bronson on everybody.
Right. Why don't you explain what this movie is about?
I don't want to explain what this movie is about. I want you to explain what this movie is about. My tea is steeping, and I have to finish steeping my tea. If I steep it for too long, it will become bitter. And the flavor profile...
because it is bitter and because it is my tea.
The flavor profile will no longer be acceptable to me.
We just saw this unbearably twee couple on the Martha Stewart show who have some sort of tea boutique in like Brooklyn or something, probably.
Thanks, Vinny Lopez.
For inventing Brooklyn. And they actually talked about flavor profile. Whatever the hell you're
Here's how you decide if tea's good or not. Do you like it? Does it taste good to your mouth? Then it's good tea.
Bam, done.
They were down. They were dragging tea bags as an item, rhetorically speaking, through the mud.
Yes,
they said it was low grade.
You need loose leaf tea.
I'm drinking Twinings
in a little metal
ball.
Now.
Just the Twinings
for these fancy
from the box.
People.
That's it. I mean, I like the fancy stuff.
Oh,
please. I'll go to American Tea Room in Beverly Hills and get the $40 bag of ancient snow sprout green tea from China. But even that's not their full-sized package of it.
Right.
That's like the cheapskate
that's
package.
That's the sampler.
That's the $40. Are you poor? Then you can maybe have the $40 bag of it once a year on your birthday as a splurge. That's how expensive
if
this place is.
If you aren't scraping your pennies together for the Madonna tour.
Right. This place is that expensive, but
well, she actually said you should scrape your pennies together for my tour.
Well, you should. Good. If you're going to go see... a fancy person in concert, then shut up. Pay your money.
If I'm going to see a fancy person in concert, it's going to be like, you know,
who?
Carita Kanawa or somebody. Like, you know, whoever the... who are the big divas now? I don't even know.
What, the opera? Opera singer?
Yeah.
Diva? I don't know.
I'm just saying, not that I love opera, but I don't think of Madonna as fancy. I think of her
She's fancy in price.
Well, yes. But she's trash. She's cheap Christmas trash.
No, what I'm saying is, I don't know how we switched topics from the very important subject of my tea drinking.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yes.
Habits to Madonna ticket prices. But I liked her quote in the press. She's like, look, people spend $300 on all sorts of things.
You know, tea, for instance.
Handbags. Or 7 bags of ancient snow sprout tea from American Tea Room in Beverly Hills. If I can afford 7 bags at once. Actually, I think the full bag is
sponsor,
like $80.
They need to sponsor this show where you're going to talk about it this much. But yeah, those tea people on Martha, like they were even sneering at like
New York, sneering at everything.
New York has like legendarily like the best tap water on earth. Yeah. And they were all like,
yes.
We, you know,
I think
special
it was the fact that
blah,
the guy
blah, blah.
Had his shirt buttoned up all the way to the top, and which is something I did when I was 5 years old.
With a dangly pendant. And
he had a dangly pendant.
Big hipster
around,
beard.
He had a dangly pendant around the outside of the shirt. And when I see guys do that sort of thing, I just think, I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how good the product is you're trying to sell me.
Shut up.
I think you're a tool.
Yeah. You're way too into Devendra Barnhart for my taste.
It's so,
so this means war.
So my tea's flavor profile is really good today.
That's good. Chris Pine and Tom Hardy play best pal CIA agents in the LA field office, because of course LA would have a CIA field office. Maybe it has a safe house attached.
I bet the CIA has an LA.
Yeah, that's probably true.
They probably do.
But do they have, I wanted to know. After last week, I wondered all about the safe house.
Where they do have a safe
where
house.
Where no one is safe.
It's the apartment underneath us.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And they, through a kooky series of misunderstandings, wind up falling in love with the same woman, namely Reese Witherspoon, who plays a sort of, you know, get this, it's a Reese Witherspoon playing a type A character. What?
She's not that type A.
Not that type A, but she's still pretty, you know.
She's overly analytical.
Yes,
about her own
she is a product tester, and so she sort of views the world as, you know, like charts and graphs and, you know, what can be proven about its stability and whatnot. And so the two of them realize that they're each dating the same woman. And at first they're all like, oh, well, we'll be gentlemanly and stay out of each other's way and let her decide. But of course they both like cheat and they use all of their, all of the spy stuff.
All their agent, secret agent tricks.
They have at their disposal to like bug her apartment and, you know, check out her
tranquilizer
taxes.
Darts
and but yeah, like all this kind of, you know, nutty stuff. And so, you know, it definitely, as I said, it feels like, you know, if marketers sat down to figure out to build in a laboratory through genetic splicing, like the chick flick that guys would want to go see, you know, this is the result of that. And it is as slick and hollow as something that would come out of a marketing meeting. But ultimately, I have to say, I did not hate it.
Every so often, there'll be these movies on Turner Classic Movies that are from the 60s. And they all have animated opening credits. And they're all these, like, you know, sex farces.
Right. Yeah, like, this is a Doris Day movie.
You had me sit down and watch Boing Boing one time.
Right.
Not B-O-I-N-G.
B-O-E.
B-O-E-I-N-G. Boeing. The airplanes, you know. And I would rather watch one of those.
Well.
Than this.
But I think those. But I bet if we had
those
been.
Those are really dumb
but you know what? I bet if we were our age when those movies came out, we would think they were dumb. But now in retrospect, they seem charming because they're kind of dated and goofy. And I bet you 30 years from now, someone's going to look at this and
think it's charming and goofy?
Yeah, and not mind how utterly divorced from reality it is. You know, I mean, I was actually reminded of like old Doris Day movies. The way that
it's just not funny enough.
No, but the way that her office is shot, like with all those the big bright colors, and you know,
it's like she works in a playpen.
Yeah, she's shooting really like different weird brands of frying pans with flamethrowers to see, you know, if the nonstick coating holds up. It's just goofy stuff like that. But you know, I'm not saying it's anything that it isn't, and I'm not saying that it's even necessarily good, but I was entertained. I had fun. You know, there's enough sort of like glossy star appeal and, you know, it's a breezy narrative, and it is what it is to the fullest extent, I think. Not that it does it well, but that at least it
there are weeks when consistent. I get really tired of movies that are what they are.
I guess, but I mean, okay, for example, let's look at a movie like Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, which is not what it is.
Is this a segue?
Yeah, why not? Let's All segue. Right. Ghost right. Rider, Spirit of Vengeance, which you would want to be...
So we're segueing now?
Let's segue. You know, you would want it to be a big...
Are we going to segue all the time now, or is
not
this
necessarily.
Just a one-shot
no, this is a...
serendipitous segue?
Yes, it's just like, we lucked into it. What is this, like happy endings now? We're going to talk about whether or not we're segueing.
I don't know what you're talking about. Keep talking.
The Ghost Rider sequel, sort of a reboot also, it's directed by Neville Dean Taylor, who are the guys that did the Crank movie. So you think, okay, great.
Not the name of one person.
No, it's two guys.
His name isn't Neville Dean Taylor.
No, it's
Neville Dean.
Neville Dean slash Taylor.
Yeah.
So these two dudes are directing this movie. So you think, oh, wow, great.
They made Crank. They made Crank 2.
Yes. They also
equals that you are going to go see this movie and think, it's going to be rad.
They also made Gamer, which wasn't good, but, you know.
Gamer was not good, but it had
elements.
Crankish elements.
Yeah.
This one doesn't have any of that.
No, nothing, nothing. You'd think they were going to bring that same spirit of like, right. You know, to it. But no, there's...
And I like that spirit.
It's a big snooze, this movie. And I didn't see the first Ghost Rider. You were really selling it to me for years. And
it sucks, but I liked it.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a good movie compared to this one.
Well, sure. I bet it is.
When he's peeing fire.
Which only happens in the movie as like an abstract.
Yeah. When he's peeing fire in the trailer, you're thinking, yes. He pees fire. And I can't wait to see what the other 95 minutes are going to be. And then you get there and you realize that peeing fire is all they got. That's it. That they put the best They put all the best stuff in the trailer.
And the, yeah, the pink fire is like
all the best lines.
It's literally somebody asks about, like a kid asks him if he pees fire and he says yes and he sort of thinks about it and that's the image you see. But he doesn't actually do it in the movie in the context of happening.
But you see it on the screen and that's all it's important.
Yes, but still it winds up being this sort of little diversion.
I want him to pee fire on the bad guy.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's my point.
I'm super bummed out about Ghost Rider.
No, I know. You were looking forward to it.
I love Nicolas Cage. I love Nicolas Cage movies. I love
all of them.
I don't like Captain Corelli's Mandolin.
But I mean, all the crazy ones? Like
most of them. Bangkok Dangerous. Bangkok
Dangerous and The Wicker Man. Those are the ones you have.
The Wicker Man is hilarious.
Bees!
Listen. I just want him to go make Werewolf Women of the SS.
Already.
Oh, yeah. Just do it. Just get Rob Zombie on the phone. Go make Werewolf Women of the SS.
Apparently, they made like half of it. Like that they,
well, then they need to make the other half.
They shot an insane amount of footage for just that trailer in Grindhouse. So, yeah, they should just finish it.
I'm so just annoyed right now. You know, like I was excited. I was, when I woke up Friday morning, I was happy to be alive because I was going to get to go see Ghost Rider, Spirit of Vengeance. And then I had my donuts.
Yes, went to Bob's.
And then I
had a warm apple fritter. Yeah, it was real nice.
I just was like, I'm your fan. I'm the guy who you're making this movie for. Like, I'm the one who, A, digs all Nicolas Cage movies, B, digs Crank and Crank 2 and Ghost Rider and the guys who made Crank and Crank 2.
No, you were
Gamer was crap.
You were unironically excited about this.
I was excited.
They also, Neville Dean Taylor.
They peed actual pee on my excitement.
On the fire of your excitement.
Yeah.
They were almost going to direct Jonah Hex and then didn't and had some involvement with it, but I don't know if we can blame that one on them or not.
I still believe in them.
Okay.
I don't think they are this lazy.
Yeah.
I think they were maybe sort of hamstrung. I'm going to make excuses for them.
Okay.
Right now, I think the budget was a problem. I think.
It's shot in Eastern Europe in one of those like no good for no good reason.
Yeah.
Deals. It was like
cheap. You know, I think they probably were forced to have a PG-13 rating.
Yeah. Which
and I think they don't know what to do with themselves if they have a PG-13. I think they only live in R-rated land in their minds.
They only make movies that probably have to get trimmed a little to get
an R-rating. Yeah, and so I'm very sad. I had to come home and eat my emotions when it was over.
We will be peeing fire at half mast,
right,
for the death of the Ghost Rider franchise.
There's not going to be. I mean. The other thing that annoyed me about Ghost Rider is that we had to sit through trailers for Spider-Man.
Yes.
I'm annoyed.
Is it The Amazing Spider-Man?
I'm annoyed at the existence of that film. I don't even... I will not want to go see that movie.
Is it that you would rather have seen a Spider-Man 4?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
After 3?
Yes. With... what's his face? With Andrew Garfield. Just change Spider-Mans. Change Spider-Mans and keep going.
Okay.
Don't start over. I already know how he became Spider-Man, and I barely care about Spider-Man. I don't care to sit through the same movie twice in under 10 years.
Okay, again, I'm with you in that I think it's ridiculous they're rebooting
this. It's ridiculous. The most useless reboot.
They are at least doing...
At this rate, they should just remake every movie every year for all the new batch of dummies coming into the theaters.
They're at least doing this one... There's a lot of differences in this one. There's a difference.
I don't care.
In the parental backstory.
Start after he becomes Spider-Man.
He's got a different girlfriend. I mean, there's, you know.
Give me 3 seconds of, hey, you know how you saw the first Spider-Man? You think you know everything? You don't know anything. Here's all the new ideas that we had about Spider-Man, and here they are in 30 seconds. It's like, what's that? What do they do at the beginning of
Glee?
Yeah, that stupid show. when. Like, I'll walk in and you're watching Glee and somebody will say something and
here's what
like,
you missed on Glee.
Blah, blah, blah. And I'll be like, well, how did that start happening? Like, when did this person become, you know, I don't know what. But
no, it's like, okay, it's Spider-Man, but this time he's a blind reggae musician.
I want all that stuff to be dispensed with quickly. I don't want to have to sit through another movie telling me a different origin story of Spider-Man.
Right.
Start too, with too the Spider-Man bad. Part. Get to the part where he's already Spider-Man and doing things and show me a cool bad guy and make them fight.
Right. Well, nobody cares what you want, Dave White.
Apparently not. So not Nicolas Cage.
Nope.
Not Neville Dean / Taylor.
Nope.
Not
Spider-Man.
Jerk face Spider-Man people who are all conspiring against my will to live. And
I think this is all Marvel Comics' fault. They're the unifying thread here.
The help doesn't like me.
I don't even know where that's coming from.
Tom Hardy has it in for me now because I was a fan until this week, and I was like, you know.
Oh, what? No, come on.
You're bugging me now.
This means War actually turned you off of Tom Hardy.
No, of course
that's,
not.
That's
He's still much. Awesome.
I was going to say.
He's still awesome.
Well, yeah, and you know, and he's the new Batman villain, so soon everybody's going to be like, oh,
good,
Tom
good,
Hardy.
Good. I can't wait. I'm excited. You know why? Because they've already established
that who Batman is. But this is the last one from Nolan, apparently, which means that the next time there's a Batman movie, we have to start all over.
No, we don't.
Yes.
No, we don't.
He's
not going to be Batman. He's already going to be Batman.
No, but he was already Batman when Tim Burton did it, and then Nolan started him over again.
Yeah, but he started him over again in a really great way.
Well, okay, maybe Amazing Spider-Man will do the same thing. You don't know.
That better happen. I want to publicly eat my words.
Okay.
I want that.
All right.
Yeah. I want that.
No, I hear. I know what you mean.
It ain't gonna happen.
I want to be wrong. But I know what you mean. I go to a lot of movies.
I want to believe.
Exactly. I think this is gonna suck, but I want to be wrong. Bonus bad performance in Ghost Rider: Spirit of Vengeance.
Christopher Lambert.
Oh, actually, there's several. Idris. Well, bonus
spread the love around.
Yeah, but Christopher Lambert, you don't really expect much from him. But the good actors giving terrible performances. There's Idris Elba playing an
alcoholic monk.
An alcoholic French monk. The one highlight of the film is when he says the word vengeance. And then Kieran Hines, who is basically the devil, and not a very good one.
And who is the woman? Violante?
Violante Placido.
That name doesn't even make sense.
I know. I referred to her in my review as the oxymoronically named Violante Placido. Calm down, violent, peaceful.
Right. That's a crazy name.
I mean, maybe Violante doesn't mean that in Italian, but it's what it actually sounds like. So, you know, I'm going to go with it anyway.
Yeah.
But now, the good movie this week from Walt Disney Studios and Studio Ghibli, The Secret World of Arrietty.
Yes.
Which was gorgeous.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Loved it.
Will children, well, tell them what it's about if they don't know.
It's based on the Borrowers. It's about these tiny people that live in between the walls of a house in the country. And a young human boy is sent out to the house where his mother grew up to recuperate. He's having heart troubles and comes to find out while he's there, A, that the Borrowers are there living in the walls, and also that his mother and his grandfather's mother's father had always thought that they were in the house, but never saw them, and actually built them this amazing dollhouse for them to live in, even with a working kitchen. But that he's finally, you know, gets to see them. Unfortunately for the Borrowers, once a human sees them, they realize they have to sort of pack up and move on because that's always bad news. And the housekeeper spots one of them and traps her in a jar and tries to make some trouble there. And, you know, Studio Ghibli, if you don't know, which I'm guessing if you listen to the show, you probably do, but they are this extraordinary outfit in Japan who make like the best animated films of the last 20
amazing movies.
25 years. You know, Spirited Away, Princess Mononoke, My Neighbor Totoro, Pompoko, Grave of the Fireflies, you know, Kiki's Delivery Service. The list goes on and on. Ponyo, just amazing stuff. And this film, actually, Hayao Miyazaki, who is sort of the king of Ghibli, who directed, you know, Mononoke and Spirited Away, is credited with the screenplay on this one. The director, I don't have his name in front of me, but he has sort of worked his way up the ranks as an animator, and he's worked on a lot of the best Ghibli films. And yeah, it is gorgeous to look at, and you know, it's a lovely story. The voice casting is really good. The two leads are these Disney Channel kids who I don't really know who they are, Bridget Mendler and somebody Henry. But
Disney kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
But then you've got, like, you know, Carol Burnett as the housekeeper, who's great, and you know, Will Arnett, who you know. It's funny. I never noticed that Will Arnett had a deep voice until they started goofing on him about it on Up All Night, where when Jason Lee would start talking deep next to him, you know. And in this movie, he plays this very serious character, and
they're always talking like this.
Exactly. A whole lot of, you know, this whole gravitas from Will Arnett that I'd never heard before, but he's really good at it. And Amy Poehler, who's his wife in real life, plays his wife in this. And it's a terrific movie. I think that, you know, kids will like it, adults will like it. I know you're about to ask me, do you think kids will be able to deal with the fact that the storytelling is kind of on the slow side?
Well, it's not slow if you aren't an idiot or if you are used to a variety of storytelling
styles.
Yeah. But unfortunately, what we have now in movies for children in the United States,
short attention span theater,
is there's something new and extreme happening every, like, minute.
Right.
And there's not room for things that are quiet or things that move
delicately,
sort of, you know, at their own pace.
Yeah.
And so this movie has lots of quiet and lots of things not happening at a breakneck pace. And so I'm just wondering, like, unless you've already exposed your children to a variety of things.
Right. I would hope the parents who are cool enough to take their kids to this would have been cool enough to have already been showing them different things that would prepare them for it.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is, I mean, yeah, that's an issue, I grant you.
I know my niece and my nephew who are young still. My 16-year-old niece, she doesn't care.
Right. She's off seeing The Vow.
I know the little niece and the little nephew,
mm-hmm.
they're going to be able to deal with it because we've been throwing Miyazaki stuff at them.
We sent them Panda Go Panda when they were like four.
We've been throwing Ghibli stuff at them for
their entire
long time. Yeah. They don't know what it is.
No.
They just know that, oh, it's another free DVD from Uncle Dave and his friend, Uncle Owens.
Yes.
Yeah. It's beautiful. It's perfect. I'm wondering what other animated movies are supposed to come out this year. Do you know what off the top of your head other animated films are coming out in 2012?
Because Brave, is that the big Pixar movie?
They've got a bar to leap over.
Well, yeah, definitely. Yeah. No question. And generally speaking, you know, that's the I mean, even the people in the industry, like, who work for Disney, work for Pixar, worship at the altar of Studio Ghibli. You know, which is why Disney made the deal several years back to be their U.S. distributor. I don't know what
it is. Not a Disney redoing or anything.
No.
It's just American actors.
Part of the contract that Disney struck.
We should make that clear because I've already had someone ask me.
Oh, is it Disney-fied?
Disney-fied?
Part of the contract that Disney and Ghibli signed was that Disney could not cut a frame out of any of these movies. So they can make a new soundtrack, and they do their own American voices. There's, like, a British version of this, according to IMDb, that has, like, Saoirse Ronan and Olivia Colman, which I would love to hear at some point. But yeah, they are very respectful of these films, and they don't muck about with them.
Yeah. So it's, you know.
So that's the movie to go see. Now, the two movies that Dave did not see this week, which I did.
Start talking. I'm going to sit back and drink tea.
Well, feel free to ask me questions or something. since apparently it takes both of us to make this show the magic that it is.
Yes, it does. It certainly does.
Okay, so one of them is Michael.
Other co-hosts are glaringly non-Dave.
According to one of our one email we got this week. More on that later.
That's true. By the way, everyone is glaringly non-me. Yes.
Although, but they said that Christy was the closest, was the least non-Dave co-host that ever had. So,
when in reality, in a physical sense,
well, yes.
She's the most non-me.
No, but you know, yeah. But she rocks the mic.
She does. She's the MC Light of of podcasting substitutions.
Yeah. Okay, so the first one is a film called Michael, not the Angel movie with John Travolta. Although, as someone pointed out on my Facebook, that's going to be hilarious. A hilarious mix-up years from now in a video store.
A really hilarious mix-up. Yes. Yeah.
It's directed by Marcus Schleinzer, I think is his name, who is he was a casting director for several Michael Haneke films, and this is his first directorial effort. And it is basically about the day-to-day life of this guy who is...
Say it.
Kind of blank-faced and
say it.
Works for an insurance company.
Say it.
And
say it.
Has a boy in the basement that he kidnapped because he's a pedophile.
Say it. Oh, you just said it.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
And the thing
is... I wasn't really listening to what you were saying.
No, you weren't. You were just butting in. And the thing is, this movie is not about, like, rubbing your face in the horror of the situation. The horror of the situation is there. It's ever present.
Yeah, apparently, although I have not seen it, it is not The Human Centipede 2.
No, yeah. Not in the slightest. It is crazily restrained, in fact. I mean, it's so much about literally... the day-to-day of this situation and you know, buying groceries and making dinner and, you know, you don't see what happens behind closed doors. There is, you know, there are implications are there.
The Jean Dielman of child rape.
It is the Jean Dielman of child rape, yeah. I mean, it is so much about this guy's sort of day-to-day tasks and going to the office and just managing the things of... You know, what supplies do you need on hand when you're keeping someone locked in your basement? I mean, just it's riveting.
I still don't know how much I want to watch this.
Okay, if I could get through it, I'm sure you could handle it. You've got the nerves of steel on this front.
Normally I do, but this subject matter, like, I would rather watch Human Centipede 2.
I see.
Than.
Because this gets in your head.
It freaks me out.
It is a disturbing movie, but it never feels exploitative. And
is it exploitative or exploitive?
Exploitative, I think.
Let's look this up after the fact.
Okay, fine.
I'm going to look it up now. I'm on eBay looking up old copies of The Borrowers because I read that book.
If anything, I think that I have to say, by the end of it, I sort of felt like, wow, this movie could have been like 45 minutes long and done everything that this one did and told me everything that this one told me. But it's still pretty interesting, and you have to really kind of admire just as sort of an experiment of like, how can I get away with this in a narrative sense and tell this story and not spill over into, you know... the horror, the grotesque or the obvious or whatever. Like, for example, like, there's never the scene where, like, the police come knocking on his door. Like, you have no idea if anybody's even looking for this kid. Like, right. there's one or two scenes where you see people on television talking about missing children and you see some distraught parents, but you don't know if they're this kid's parents. And you know, I don't want to give too much away, but it's even if you think you don't want to see this movie, and, you know, why would you, it's worth checking out. This guy really knows how to get you inside this character's head in a lot of ways, and it's, you know, it's not sadistic in that Hanukkah way. You know, it's not like Funny Games or something, but it does have that sense of a remove, you know, of the situation where it's just, he's very kind of standing back and portraying this situation. It's worth seeing. It's an interesting film. And then also out this week on a few screens, and it's opening wider next weekend, is the Belgian nominee for Best Foreign Film at the Oscars this year.
Which I will be watching and reviewing.
Okay. A film called Bullhead, which is set in the world of... The cattle ranchers and the hormone mafia in Belgium,
which apparently is a thing that
apparently
exists.
Is a thing that exists. Yeah. And this one guy who is involved with it, has a fridge full of steroids and he's this big hulking dude. And at first you think the movie's making these sort of easy parallels between the hormones they're shooting up the cattle with and this guy shooting himself up with the steroids. But then through a series of flashbacks, you come to find out the horrifying thing that occurred in this guy's childhood that changed the rest of his life. And, you know, I find it really compelling as a character study yes, Dave still has AOL.
I still have mail.
A character study of this guy mainly, and like the, you know, his these people from his childhood who figure into his life now, and that stuff. And I felt that that's the film's strong suit. And to me, by the end of it, it felt like it got too deeply involved in the crime story part of it, which is fine, but not as interesting to me. But it's still, it's a film worth seeing. The lead character is amazing. Apparently people on YouTube were mocking Christie for mispronouncing his name. So I don't even know that I want to try, but Matthias something. But he's terrific. I mean, like, he's got one of the most sort of compelling faces and bodies I've seen in a movie since Tom Hardy and Bronson.
Oh, well,
right. So yeah, not a movie that completely worked for me, but a lot of it is really great, and I think it's really it raises a lot of interesting ideas and is made very confidently. I don't know if this guy's made other films before or what, but it's worth checking out. And I think it opened this weekend in LA, New York, and Austin, and it's supposed to be expanding to like 20 markets next week. So be on the lookout for Bullhead. Did you find exploitative?
No, I told you I wasn't.
Oh, you weren't going to look it up now. Okay. No. All right, we'll get back to you on that.
Hash that out later.
What's your DVD pick this week?
Zat.
Is that you, Santa Claus?
Z-A-A-T. Zat, also known as?
The Blood Waters of Dr. Z, which was, that's what they called it when they did it on Mystery Science Theater, but apparently they're doing, this is a DVD of just the movie itself.
Yes.
Which is terrible.
It's a big rubber man fish, rubber suit. Monster movie from 1971.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the ecology, man. About pollution.
Yes.
And killing.
I think you might be better off watching the Mystery Science Theater version.
I think I might be better off watching the real
thing. But if you want to see Zat, you go right in.
Also, On the Bowery, which I have not seen.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought there was a nice sort of balance to Blood Waters of Dr. Z / Zat.
Was recently listed in the National Film Registry, I believe.
Yes. Right. Someone's knocking on the door.
Oh, okay. My DVD pick this week is Alfred Hitchcock's The Lady Vanishes. And the only reason that I'm doing that is because there is a scene in This Means War where the meet cute that happens between Reese Witherspoon and Chris Pine is at a video store. And they start talking about movies, and he recommends The Lady Vanishes to her, and she dismisses it as second-tier Hitchcock and says that you're much better off with anything he made between 1960 and 1972. So I call BS twice on that exchange. One, The Lady Vanishes is by no means second-tier Hitchcock. It's a great movie and one of his finest films. Two, Hitchcock made some stinkers between 1960 and 1972. If you don't believe me, try sitting through Topaz or Torn Curtain sometime. So,
are you on your thing about Hitchcock?
Yes.
And the,
so, The Lady Vanishes is my pick this week. There's Joe's a nice
returning a DVD to us.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah. There's a lovely Criterion edition of Lady Vanishes.
She borrowed 5 years ago.
That's our neighbor. That's my DVD pick this week. Go see Lady Vanishes and Reese Witherspoon.
Tell them about On the Bowery.
Doesn't know what she's talking about. I don't know that much about On the Bowery.
I don't really either. That's why I want to watch
but
it.
But the apparently the director is like very, very left wing, and he actually made these films with like the bums that lived on the Bowery, like
hobos and bums.
Yeah, like he worked with them for weeks, and they sort of together developed this script that was kind of based on their own lives. And I'm hearing really great things.
Learn
about
it together.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
So that'll be really cool.
That'll be part of our own film education.
Yes, which is never ending. We have so much more.
I already pretty know. I own pretty much almost everything at this point. I think you must agree that I kind of do. That I'm pretty brilliant about all of it for the most part.
Yeah.
Stop that. That sounds like a food noise.
Are we segueing again?
We're going to segue.
Oh, look at you with the segue.
Reader.
Viewer mail. Listener mail.
We were told this week in an email that food noises that crunch are qualitatively different than food noises that go smack, smack, slurp.
Yes.
Apparently we were smack, smack, slurping.
Yes.
But only once I was crunching with the potato chips.
But so, I'm sure there was eventually.
But it doesn't matter. This whole discussion is now completely academic.
We're not going to do it.
We're not doing it ever again. Yeah. So, but he wanted to point out that difference.
Right. And then apparently it freaks him out also in love scenes when they're all smacky, slurpy.
When slurpy, drooly, spitty, tonguey. Yeah. See, I think a kiss scene like that is more real.
I'd say, like with everything else,
a sloppy makeout.
It's a matter of degrees, you know.
A sloppy makeout in the movie surprises me. And I think and because I'm surprised by it,
right?
I like it.
It feels naturalistic.
Yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah.
And what was the other letter we got?
Hey guys, I just wanted to know your opinions on movie studios slapping a coat of 3D paint on an existing movie and re-releasing it.
Yes, because...
thank you, Brandon.
Yes, because Star Wars Episode 1 3D came out, which we skipped.
I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. I don't care. And here's why I don't care. Because I have already decided that I will never review those re-releases. Mm-hmm. I am not doing it. That review of that movie came out when the movie came out first time. My two cents don't matter. At all. That's it. It doesn't. And if you want to make some money, and if dum-dums want to go see, you know, the movie again because it's been like 3D-ified, then fine. Do it. Do what you want. Be happy. Everybody go be happy.
I'm in favor.
I'm not going to go because it will make me not happy.
I'm in favor of anything that puts old movies back into the theater, to be honest. That I think is always a plus. Generally speaking, I don't care because I would just. How do I say this? Generally, the 3D movies I like are the ones that were made in 3D. The ones that were retrofitted, and I'm talking about like recent movies where between production and release, they said, oh, let's make it 3D, you know, like Alice in Wonderland or Clash of the Titans. I don't like it so much. They generally look terrible and you know, it's just pointless. I have no interest in seeing Star Wars episodes 1 through 3 again anyway, so I'm not going to go see it again in 3D. Right.
Star Wars and Empire and Jedi.
I will see those.
In a 2D theater? Because they're going to really... No, they are going to 2D theaters.
I know.
Like, they're not all going
to
be in 3D.
But I might go see one of those in 3D just to see what it looks like. Because here's the...
I'll go see all three of those in a 2D theater.
Fair enough. I will say at least that, like, if you are going to have somebody who's going to take a 2D movie and turn it to 3D, I want it to be some crazy anal attention, you know, like, super meticulous dude like George Lucas or James Cameron doing it. I will certainly see Titanic 3D. Because I think that Cameron is the guy who will, like, painstakingly look at every single frame and, you know, make it right. And... The special effects in Titanic didn't age all that well. Like, there are some shots where they're, like, sort of panning down the ship where, like, a year or two later, you're like, that looks really fake. So I like to think that in the process of making this 3D, they've also kind of gone back in and tweaked things and made them look a little slicker.
I'll wait for you to come home and tell me about that.
No, fine. That's fine. But, yeah, Jen...
I will say that seeing the ship... sync in 3D might be kind of cool.
Yeah, true.
But the first 2 hours, I don't care.
There's a lot of build up. That's true.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, look, I think as shameless attempts for studios to milk more money out of their existing cash cows go, I'd say a 3D re-release is less shameless than the, you know, we're going to put it out on DVD, but with no extras. And then we're going to put it out on DVD with extras. And then we're going to put it out on Blu-ray. And then we're going to put it out on Blu-ray with an alternate ending. And then we're going to put it out in a box set that you can only get the thing if you buy the... blah, blah, blah. So, you know, it's less shameless than most, I would say.
All right, whatever.
So this brings us to the end of another show.
The end of another show.
You can like us on Facebook.
Yep.
You can follow us at Twitter at LinoleumCast.
And individually as well.
I am A. Duraldi, A D as in David, U R A L D E on Twitter. And Dave is D. Leland White, all one word.
My middle name is Leland.
Yes.
L E L A N D.
Correct.
It's my dad's first name.
Right.
Yeah.
You can check into the show on Get Glue. I have made another request for them to take us out of the TV.
Never going
to
happen.
We'll see how that goes.
Never going to happen.
I want to thank our friends in the podcast universe, Popcorn Mafia, The Comedy Couch, Blowhard, Fat Guys of the Movies, The Criterion Cast, The Schmoes Know, who were nice enough to include What the Flick in the annual You Reviewers Awards, which is presented by various movie reviewers who do their thing on YouTube, and you can see that up on the site right now.
Yep.
Throwing Shade, Secretly Timid, Game Night Guys, The B-Movies Podcast, Team Jack, which I appeared on this week. I believe the episode is called Cheesy Tater Tots. And he's part of the...
We don't have episode names.
No, I just list the movies that we talk about.
Yeah. Maybe we ought to have episode names.
Maybe. We'll talk about it. We'll take it offline, as someone I know says in businessy meetings.
Really?
Yes. Put a pin in that. We'll talk about it. We'll take it offline.
We'll take it offline.
We'll take it offline.
All right.
Team Jack, of course, being part of the Smodcast / Sir Radio Network, the Kevin Smith joint. And I have not mentioned this in a while, but if you are a fan of the show and you have not done so already, we would so love it if you would go to iTunes and leave us a nice review, because apparently the more good reviews you get, the more prominently you get featured on iTunes, and we always like
to have... Is that a real thing that happens?
Apparently so, yeah. And we love it when new people...
What are you waiting for, then?
...discover the show.
Go review us positively.
Go leave us a nice review. That would really be lovely.
Make us love you back.
You can, of course, drop us a line at linoleumpodcast@gmail.com with any questions, comments, or,
No criticisms, though.
Observations
about... I don't want to hear your problems. Yeah.
Whatever you got, drop us a note. Anyway, we thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.